Rapport. Next subject, right down at the top of your notes. Rapport is the ultimate power. Anything you want to accomplish, achieve, manifest, develop, whether it be personal, emotional, social, spiritual, intellectual, or financial, you can make that happen much more rapidly if you can develop rapport with different individuals, find out what their needs are and fill them. With rapport, you have tremendous power. You have the need for responsiveness in other people. And that's really all rapport is. It's people's feeling responsiveness towards you. If you can develop rapport with unlimited number of people, then you can have literally unlimited avenues of joy, of happiness, and of success. Now, every one of you in this room already knows how to develop rapport. And if you spent the day with me before, we talked quite a bit about rapport, and I'll do a little review here for you, and it'll be new information for the people who have just gotten here for the first time. What we found in the past is that most people try and develop rapport one primary way. And the way they do that, usually, is by going out and meeting someone. Like if I said to you, go get rapport with somebody at the restaurant down the street, you'd all go out there, meet somebody, and as you began to meet with them, you begin to talk with them, probably, and try and develop rapport by finding something in what? Yes, in common. You don't develop rapport by finding things in difference. In fact, when you say, I'm having differences with a person, it means you're out of what? Out of rapport. So the first key is to remember that rapport is built on finding commonality. And there are two phrases that I always use when I talk about rapport, so jot them down. And if I've told them to you before, write them down again. First phrase simply says this, when people are like each other. When people are like each other. They tend to like each other. When people are like each other, they tend to like each other. Now, it's pretty basic, but again, check it out in your own mind. Think of someone you really, really like a lot. Raise your hand if this person is either like you or like how you would like to be. Of course, because we like people who like us or like how we want to be. Now, the opposite phrase will remind you if you're out of rapport, why you're out of rapport. And jot that phrase down, and that is, when people are not like each other, when people are not like each other, they tend what? To not like each other. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have rapport with someone if you're different than them, but it means the more differences are perceived, the less rapport is usually achieved. So if you're not in rapport, it's probably because there are a lot of differences that person is perceiving between you and they, or you and themselves. And if you have rapport, it's because they see a large number of commonalities. Now, what immediately happens when I give these two phrases is someone in the audience invariably says, well, wait a second, what about the fact that opposites attract? And I go, what fact? And they go, well, you know, the fact. I said, no, I don't know. Who said that this was true? And they said, well, you know, people. And I go, who specifically? And they go, I don't know, I've just heard. And what you find is it's a gross generalization. I know some people didn't stand up and go, but wait a second, I know this couple. Like, he's a real slob and she's real neat. And that's what makes the relationship work. And I go, come on, that's not what makes a relationship work. Or they go, he's really outgoing and she's really quiet. Well, the reality is, you can be different than a person and have rapport, of course. However, what made that relationship come together is the commonalities. Although they may look different because maybe they have different styles of communicating, they may have the same idea of what a man and woman's role is in a relationship. So their behaviors match a similar belief that they have about how they should be in a relationship. Or they may have the same spiritual beliefs. Or they've grown up with the same kind of background. So the bottom line is, what made the relationship come together were the commonalities, and then the differences can add spice, or if there are too many differences, then you're going to have a major problem because those differences start to drive people apart. It creates friction. And again, you find me two people that are totally opposite in their beliefs and values, and I'll show you two enemies in most cases. I mean, look at the Middle East. There's a nice example for you. You know, look at the Palestinians and Israelis. What's the challenge there? What we have here are two groups of people who have a major difference of opinion on major emotional issues. They see themselves as being different in religion. That's emotional. That's intense. In laws. If you commit a crime in a Palestinian country versus in Israel, there's a whole lot of different views about how you're going to punish someone in those two different countries. So those kinds of emotional issues, and one like whose home this is, they have a difference of opinion on that. That's why they're fighting each other like they are. Yet there are Palestinians and Israelis here in the United States who live together. And how do they do that? Because they see the commonalities. Well, we're actually both Americans. Ah, instant reframe, now we have rapport. Now, that doesn't work all the time, obviously. But that's how it can happen. I mean, what's the problem with black and white issues? It's because people are seeing themselves as different instead of saying, hey, we're the same. One person's skin's a little darker. One has grown up with maybe different customs or culture, possibly, if they live in a different part of the country. But the reality is, the more we see sameness, the more we have rapport with people. Okay? Now, in other words, then, the way to build rapport is be like another person. How do most of us try to be like another person? We ask questions, and we try and develop rapport through questioning. Like, what kind of questions do we ask? You meet somebody, what do you ask them to try and develop rapport? Where are you from? What do you do? What's your sign? What's your sign, huh? Yep, we're still in Southern California. 20 years later, huh? Okay. Now, is it possible you can ask somebody, what's your name, where are you from, what do? What are your hobbies, and not develop rapport? Yeah, what if they say things you don't have a lot in common with in those areas? Then the conversation just kind of drops, doesn't it? Like, you just, you know, you try to ask another question, you can just feel the lack of rapport, right? I mean, what if you ask those person those questions, and they go, my name's Habib, I'm from Iran, I'm a terrorist, I love to kill people. You go, oh, me too? That's not going to build much rapport, right? So the reality is, language is the least effective way of getting rapport, and yet that's how 98% of the people in this culture try and do it. They use what percent of their communication skills? That's right. They're using 7% of their communication skills, because what these people are doing is trying to use words. And as we demonstrated by the earlier exercise we did, words, everyone has a different idea of what words mean. So you've got a major problem using words. What the best communicators in the world seem to have in common, and when Bandler and Grinder studied these communicators, is they had the ability to get rapport with anyone from any walk of life in literally a matter of minutes. And they did it in minutes because they didn't just use words. They used the other portions of communication. And they became like another person in that they began to do something that Bandler and Grinder later classified as matching and mirroring. Matching and mirroring. Where these great communicators literally became a mirror image of the people they were communicating with, both in the way they used their voice and the way in which they used their body. So, for example, if you went to see Milton Erickson and said, Dr. Erickson, I have this problem. I really need to change it. He'd go, well, let's get to it right away. Now, some of you would say, well, wouldn't we notice that he was mimicking us? You'd be surprised. People don't notice that. All they notice is they started to feel immediately like, wow, I can trust this guy because he's just like who? Yeah. He would take on a similar facial expression, similar posture. Now, the reality is anytime you're in rapport, you're already doing these things. I mean, that's the bottom line. You don't have to be taught. You do it right away. You go to a restaurant and watch two people when they get in rapport and watch what happens with their bodies. And you immediately see that sense of rapport beginning to generate because their bodies are in the same position. Okay? Their breathing is at the same place. Now, you tell me, what are some of the things you could mirror in order to create rapport with someone? Let's say I'm across from this person. Here he is in front of me, and I want to get rapport with this man. What could I do to get rapport in a way I could guarantee he would feel a common bond with me? Not guess. See, words are guessing, aren't they? But guarantee he will feel bonded to me. How can I do that? What could I do with my voice, for example? Okay, so I can match his tonality. I can mirror back his tonality. So if he talks like this, I can talk back like this. What else? Okay, let's just start with auditory. So we got his tonality. What else? His tempo. Okay, so if he talks very rapid like this, and says, what do you think, Tony? What do you think? How would I talk back to him? I'd say, hey, well, I'll tell you what. I think this and this. What do you think? Who feels really comfortable when people talk like this? Who does? Who feels comfortable when people talk this way? That's right, people talk like this, okay? Now, what else besides tone and tempo? Volume. Who's comfortable with people who talk like this all the time? You tell me, who's comfortable? People who live in Dallas. I was in Dallas recently, and I met about 9 people that talked like about this volume, and I was going around talking loud, and my voice got hoarse afterwards. But seriously, people who talk loud like people talk loud. What if somebody talks quiet, and they get around a loud talker? How much rapport do you think that gets? The quiet person goes, oh, that person's obnoxious. I mean, if they were intelligent, they'd talk like I am right now. Because, see, they want somebody who's just like them. Okay, what else besides volume, tone, and tempo? Keywords, vocabulary. Certain words people use over and over again. If you use the same words back to them when you're talking to them, it gets more rapport. Give me some examples of some of the words you'd use with me to get rapport, based upon spending a day with me here. Congruency, what else? Power? Metaphor? Stretching, responsibility. What if you said, Tony, we just discovered this new way to stretch people and a metaphor that would allow them to really grow and expand as human beings, develop more personal power. What do you think I'd say? God, that person's obviously intelligent. Why would I think that? That person's just like who? Me in my head. Okay, so I immediately got rapport. So you got common words. Okay, what else? The grouping of the words, okay, the way the words are grouped together. Give me some physiological things you can mirror. What are some things you can use in your body to become like that person so their brain immediately feels like you're like them? Posture. What else? Breathing is great. You know why breathing's great? Because it's so subtle. If you start breathing like another person's breathing, you start to feel like they're feeling. And it's very rare that someone will turn to you and go, "Will you stop mirroring my breathing?" It's like very rare that that happens.
This is the end of side one. Please turn the tape over at this point to play side two.
Also, by the way, you know, in doing private therapies with families and with husbands and wives and so forth, relationships, one of the things that happens a lot of times is a couple will come in and they like really love each other, but their sex life doesn't work. And I'll talk to them about just about everything and nothing seems to work. And I say, you know what? When you're making love, you breathe at the same pace? And they go, "I don't know." I say, "Well, think about it." And they go, "Well, no, as a matter of fact, I don't think we do." I said, "Forget everything else, go home and make love and breathe at the same pace." And they go, "That's ridiculous." And I said, "Well, just try it. Because think about it. Can you remember a time when you had ultimate rapport? Can we talk?" Okay. Can you remember a time when you had ultimate rapport with another person? Okay. You had an intimate relationship. When you're breathing at the exact same pace, there's this incredible bond that happens at that time. And I've had people have tried everything else, nothing works. They go and breathe at the same pace, and all of a sudden they feel totally connected to each other. So breathing is very powerful. What else? Gestures. So some, you know, somebody goes like this, and you go like this back and get your rapport. Remember, rapport means responsiveness, right? So you'll get a response by doing that, definitely. What else? Facial expressions. You already do this, don't you? If somebody's talking to you like this and like telling you a story like this, how do you look back at them? That same kind of silly look on your face, don't you? You know? Now, what if they're like this, talking like this, and you're sitting back like this? Does that build rapport? Of course not. So you already know it. So you look back at them and kind of nod in the same look on your face. You already do this stuff. I'm just getting you to be conscious of it so you can now do it at any moment when you want to. So you can be in control instead of haphazard once in a while. What else besides facial expression? Good. Eye contact. Okay? You notice how much time do they spend with eye contact? Are they the kind of person that stares into your eyes and never lets go? If that's true, you want to keep staring. If they look only for a moment and look away, you look for only a moment and look away. If you've got a person who looks only for a few moments and you keep staring, that doesn't build rapport. And vice versa. If you've got a person who stares and you keep looking away, that doesn't build rapport with them either. So you notice how much time do they spend in mirroring eye connection, okay? Eye contact. What else? Pardon me? Okay, the rate at which somebody blinks. You can get rapport with somebody. You notice when they blink, you blink at the same time, and very rarely will they notice. They won't go, "You stop blinking at the same time I am." They just don't do that. But you can begin to immediately get rapport by doing that. What else? Okay, proximity. Some people are like, they're not really comfortable until you're about this close. You know, then they're really comfortable. Okay? Other people, they're a little bit further away. So again, you notice how close do they get to you. And you only get about that close. So if they get like really like this and stay close, because if you walk away, it doesn't build rapport. Also, if they only get about this close, then you don't break into this area. See, as I'm walking to people, I can see where I'm breaking through. Like right here, I just broke through with her. All I have to do is watch her face, and I know when I'm getting too close. Okay? I step back here, and she's comfortable again. One step in, boom. Instant change in physiology. Okay? I can do the same thing with here. I look at Joel, I step here, I'm okay, here, I'm okay, here, now I just broke through. How many of you saw his head? Did you see that? His whole body went. Okay. So I go over here to Cindy, I'm walking here, I'm okay, here, I'm okay, here, I'm okay, here, I'm okay. Sir, you can get a lot closer to Cindy. You can get real close to Cindy, and Cindy's real comfortable. So Cindy's quite different than Shelly. Cindy's tendency probably be to get real close on Shelly. Shelly might kind of back off a little bit. So what Cindy'd have to do is watch Shelly and not get too close, and vice versa. Shelly would tend to be too far from Cindy. She won't have as much rapport here as she would if you're up here with her. She's much more comfortable here, you can see. She isn't jerking back, she smiles, she's closer. Okay? So you notice proximity and how people use it. How close do they get to you, and you mirror that back. Anything else? What's that? Hand and legs? Okay, well, that's basically, I would say, mirroring postures and gestures, yes. How about whether the person's a touching kind of person or not? Is that important to know? Yeah, some people are not comfortable unless you come up and, like, touch them all over. You go, "Hi, God, it's really great to see you. How are you?" Other people, like, you touch them and it's like... because that's just not something you do. So you notice in the conversation, do they like grab you? Do they touch you? Do they pat you on the shoulder? And if they do, then you touch back. Because if they're a touching kind of person and you don't touch back, it doesn't build anywhere near the same amount of rapport. And at the same time, if you touch somebody or if you go to somebody who doesn't get touched and touch them, you're going to break rapport. So you got to pay attention. Do they touch or not? And you mirror that back. Now, so all this process then basically is learning how to become like another person and learning how to use the other portions of communication, which are how you use your voice quality and how you use your physiology. What's exciting about this is, one, you've already been doing it, but by becoming conscious of it, you can now do it purposely. And you can get rapport with people maybe who in the past you've not had rapport with, because you can guarantee that rapport. If I'm just like you, you don't have a choice but to like me. Because your unconscious mind becomes like a biofeedback mechanism. It puts out this energy, and I put back the exact same sequences, and the brain goes, ah, there I found my friend, just like me. So it's not like words. It's a guarantee of rapport. Now, you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do, Tony? I go out and, like, you know, I meet somebody, and then, you know, they move, and I move, and they do this, and I do this, and they do this, and I do this, and they turn this way, and I turn this way, and they pick their nose, and I pick my nose. No. You don't have to mirror everything to have rapport. You can just mirror gestures. Or you can just mirror, like, leg position. Now, by the way, people are already doing this. I mean, like, look at this front row over here. Take a look at these three people. One, two, three. These three people in the exact same position. Okay? Their same head position, same look on their face, same breathing pattern. And by the way, they're not the only ones. Look at these two right here. Take a look at these two over here on the corner here. And take a look next to you. See if there's somebody there who's taking on the same physiology you've got. You were mirroring me, huh? Now, check this out to give you an idea how powerful this is. Cindy, how do you feel about Sean Dew right now as he's sitting next to you? He's nice. Sean Dew, move forward in your chair. Just pull it all the way up. And sit more on the edge this way, facing me more. There you go. Yeah, but move forward more. Yeah, there you go. More on the edge of your seat, though. Okay. How do you feel now, Cindy? It feels uncomfortable. She doesn't like it. And by the way, she went from smiling to frowning. Okay, Shandu, go ahead and sit back in the exact same position you were before. Take on her posture again. Totally identical. Look at her. She's like,
ah. Yeah, that's right.
She goes, yeah, that's right. How do you feel about him now?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a ticket. Yeah. Now, the point here is, even though this seems silly, you better figure out that this is how your brain works. And Shandu can communicate more rapport to Cindy by the way he's using his body right now, just by sitting the way she's sitting, than he could ever do verbally. And that's the truth. So you want to take advantage of this. Now, I talked about some of this in the one day with the people that were here. So let's go to another step rather than going at this level. Let's move to another level now. If you mirror everything about a person, you will not only have rapport with them, but you will begin to feel like they feel and possibly even see what they're seeing in their mind. Let me answer this one man's question, though, first. He asked the question, he said, well, how do you get rapport with several people at once? Well, you can assign different body parts to different people. So let's say I take Sean Dew's legs over here, and I got rapport with Sean Dew's legs. I look over here, and I got Shelley's facial expression, right? I got Joel's hand position, and I might use Edward's voice tone. So now I got rapport with Edward, I got it with Shelley, I got it with Joel, and I got it with Sean Dew. You get the idea? I mean, I did a therapy one time. Are you familiar? How many of you are familiar with the process of pacing and leading? Let me see a show of hands. Okay, not all of you. Okay. Pacing leading is this. Once you get rapport with someone for a period of time, you can gradually begin to change what you're doing and they will follow you. An example. Ever been with a friend late at night? You're in total rapport. You're not even slightly tired. And all of a sudden they go, oh, and they start to yawn. You go, no, no, no. Because within a few seconds, what are you doing? Yawning. How many of you ever had that happen? That's called pacing and leading. What it means is, you go in and you go at their pace. You're moving, breathing, acting like them. So you're in their pace. You're in their world. You're getting rapport with them. And then you make a subtle change, and that person follows you. Okay? That's pacing and leading. Now, I did a therapy one time where I combined mirroring many people with pacing and leading. It was a major stretch. I took the situation where I had this overactive child, quote-unquote. The reason I say quote-unquote about that is because whenever the child is overactive, it's not just the child, it's the family unit that makes the biggest difference. So I bring the whole family in to do a little therapy with him. And this child is running around. He's up in the turret of my castle. And he's running around, knocking things over, going through all this stuff, just totally frenetic. The wife has got this Dennis Drill tonality, where she's going, I don't know what the problem is with him. He is just so terrible. And I'm thinking, I would probably be frenetic also if I was listening to your voice all day long, right? The husband on the other side is like sitting like this, shoulders and, you know, arms crossed, sitting back in his chair. Now, the kid's going crazy. Wife's going, ah, ah, ah. And the husband's like this. Now, what do you do? Well, I have to get rapport with all of them to get a change, right? So lots of ways to do it. But I chose to stretch myself this particular day. So what did I do? I took my foot, my right foot, and I started bouncing it at the pace in which this kid was moving around. So I'm bouncing my foot like this at this pace, basically the pace in which he's zipping around, okay? Now, then I used the wife's Dennis Drill tonality. And I said, well, I'm not quite sure either, but let's sit down and talk about it. Now, since they've never met me before, they don't know a whole lot of what's going on, right? I've got the husband's arms crossed, right? So I got the husband, I got rapport with him. I got the wife with this kind of tonality. I'm exaggerating only slightly. And I got this beating of my leg back and forth at the pace at which the kid is moving all over the place. Now, pretty soon what I want to begin to do is after I got rapport with all of them, I got the wife for a little while as I'm talking like this. I got the husband because I've been sitting like this. And I got the kid because I'm moving at the pace at which he's zipping all over my room, knocking everything over. Pretty soon what I begin to do is now I want to begin to pace them into a different pace. So I begin to gradually begin to change just a little bit of some of the things that I'm doing. And as you may begin to notice, I'm changing a little bit simultaneously where my voice is changing. I'm opening the arm. I'm slowing down the leg. And what begins to happen is her voice relaxes, so it's almost bearable. The husband pulls out one arm and the kid starts to slow down. I do it more and more and more of a period of about 15 minutes until pretty soon what begins to happen is she's actually speaking really nicely. The husband's got his arms open. He's beginning to communicate as well. And the kid comes over and sits down in front of me, and we all have a conversation. So that's not something that I recommend as the number one way to do this, but it was a nice stretch to see what was possible and what I could do. And you could do it as well, very easily. As I said, you don't have to mirror everything to have rapport, but if you mirror everything, you can know exactly how someone feels and what they're experiencing.